Okay, we're on test Vav Amud Beis, about a quarter of the way down. Shalosh Taniyos Harishonos. Okay, so the Mishnah continues. This is a very long Mishnah, by the way. If you look, right, it starts on test Vav Amud Aleph, and it goes all the way down to like three quarters of the way down test Vav Amud Beis. It's a very, very long Mishnah. But basically, the Mishnah continues by saying Shalosh Taniyos Harishonos for the first three fasts. Remember, we had one set of three, then another set of three, and then a set of seven. Those were the fasts that people did for the rain. So the first set of fasts, the Gemara here describes how different groups of Kohanim would fast. Okay, now I don't know if there's anybody who's a Kohen here, right? But basically, the Kohanim were broken up into groups called Mishmaros. Okay, a Mishmar. Okay, so the they were broken up into a group of 24 Mishmaros, and each Mishmar would have a week. They would be on call, so to speak, servicing the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Of the Mishmar, the Mishmar was then broken down into what are called Batei Av, or a Beis Av. And the Beis Av was like a family, and that was a group of Kohanim that would serve on each day. So each day of the week, a different Beis Av would serve. They were broken down into seven Batei Av, and each Beis Av would serve on a different week, on a different day of the week. Okay? So the Mishmaros were in charge of the weeks, and then the Beis Av within the Mishmaros were in charge of each day. There was also a group called the Ma'amados? Anshei Ma'amad. Yeah, Anshei Ma'amad, which is basically a group of Yisraelim who were designated to daven and to fast so that the Karbanos would be accepted. Okay, the way that this is explained is that generally, if I bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash and the Kohen is bringing the carbon for me, I have to be there. If I'm the Bailim, I'm the owner of the carbon, I got to be in the Beis HaMikdash while the carbon is being brought. And usually the owners would be davening as the carbon was being brought. So, but there were carbonos that were brought on behalf of the whole Tzibur. So you don't say the whole Klal Yisrael has to come to the Beis HaMikdash because they're bringing the carbon Tzibur. But what they would do is they would designate a group called the Anshei Ma'amad, right, the standers, so to speak, the standing group, and they would represent all of Klal Yisrael, and they would be davening and you know for the Karbanos. Some of them would be in the Beis HaMikdash, some of them would be out in their towns.
Is this like an elected group, or just like, was there a designated?
I don't know if it was elected. I think it was just designated.
Was there a rotation?
Yeah, those things were also rotation. Okay, so it says the Gemara, it says the Mishnah, here we go. Shalosh Taniyos HaRishonos, Anshei Mishmar Mis'anin V'lo Mashlimin. So for the first three fasts, the Anshei Mishmar, and again, this was the 124th, right, the group of Kohanim that dealt with the week, they would fast, V'lo Mashlimin, but they would not complete the fast. They wouldn't fast the whole day. They would break the fast at some point, you know, in the afternoon, they would break the fast, they wouldn't fast the whole day. The Anshei Beis Av, Lo Hayu Mis'anin Klal. The Anshei Beis Av would not fast at all. Why? Because the Anshei Beis Av were doing the service in the Beis HaMikdash, so they had to have their strength in order to do the Avodah properly, so they did not fast at all. The Anshei Mishmar were like kind of on reserve, because if, let's say, there was a very busy day in the Beis HaMikdash and there weren't enough people in the Beis Av to deal with all the volume of Korbanos or whatever, they would call in the reserves from the Mishmar, they would call in other people, excuse me, to come help with the Avodah. Vayter Shalosh Shnios, what about the second set of three fasts? Anshei Mishmar Mis'aninu Mashlimin, the Anshei Mishmar would fast the whole time for that second set. The Anshei Beis Av Mis'aninu V'lo Mashlimin. And the Anshei Beis Av would fast, but they would not fast the entire day. You see, we're getting a little bit more machmir as we're getting along. The second set is going to be more strict than the first set. Sheva Achronos, the set of seven, right, the final set of seven fasts. Elu ve'elu Mis'aninu Mashlimin, both the Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Beis Av would both fast and complete the fast. That was the most strict group of fasts. They would both fast and complete the fast. Divrei Rabbi Yehoshua, that's Rabbi Yehoshua's opinion. The Chachamim say, Shalosh Taniyos HaRishonos, the first three fasts, Elu ve'elu lo hayu misanin klal. They're a little bit more lenient. They say the first three, excuse me, nobody fasted at all. Not the Anshei Mishmar, not the Anshei Beis Av. Shalosh Taniyos, the second set of three, Anshei Mishmar Mis'anin V'lo Mashlimin. The Anshei Mishmar would fast part of the day, but would not complete the fast. The Anshei Beis Av Lo Hayu Mis'anin Klal. And the Anshei Beis Av would not fast at all. And the Sheva Achronos, the last set of fasts, the seven, Anshei Mishmar Mis'anin V'lo Mashlimin. The Anshei Mishmar would fast the whole day, The Anshe Beisav Misanim Velo Mashlim. Anshe Beisav would fast, but they would not complete the fast. Okay? So this was, so you see that the Chachamim are a little bit more lenient than Rabbi Yehoshua, and they go like one step more lenient. Yeah.
They're on deck.
They're the overall group of Kohanim that were like on call for this Shabbos. For this week, I'm sorry, not Shabbos, for the week. They were on call. So from that Mishmar, one base Av would serve every day. It was split into seven, and each one was called the base Av, and each base Av would serve every day, one day of the week. But the rest of the Anshe Mishmar were like on call in case they needed to bring in the reserves for if they had a busy day. When they were or were not? If they were working, it depends which fast and which shita you're going. Okay. We definitely get more machmir as we get on. The second set is more machmir. The first set, third set is more machmir. And the chachamim are more lenient than Rabbi Yehoshua. So it all depends, what you're talking about. Okay, now, additional halacha, nothing to do with fasting, just a side halacha. The Mishnah continues, Anshe Mishmar mutarin lishtos yayin balelos aval lo bayam. The Anshe Mishmar, the people of the Kohanim of the Mishmar, were allowed to drink wine at night, but not during the day. Why? Because a Kohen who drinks wine is not allowed to do avoda. You're not allowed to do avoda once you drink a revius of wine. Okay? So the Anshe Mishmar who were on call were not allowed to drink wine during the day because they might be called to do avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. But at night, there was no new avoda being done at night. There were some residual avoda being done, like, they would burn, some of the limbs and things like that they would do at night. But nothing new was offered at night. So if everything was under control by the time Tzeis HaKohanim came, so they knew that they were not going to be called at night, and therefore the Anshe Mishmar could have a beer, they could have some wine at night, they could have a drink at night. But the Anshe Beisav, lo bayom v'lo balayla. The Anshe Beisav were not allowed to drink by day or by night. Obviously not by day because they're working, and even by night they're not allowed to drink because they're still, the following night. Even by night they're not allowed to drink. Why? Because they're still doing some of the residual avoda. Right, the residual avoda is still being done. The burning of the limbs and things like that are still being done at night.
You think once they finish, they still can't drink?
You're saying if like all the avoda was done and they all went home to sleep, could they have a drink then? Maybe. I don't know. But certainly not before then. Okay? Zakti Mishnah Vaitav, Anshe Mishmar, the Anshe Maimid, Asurin, Milasaper, Umilachabes. Okay, so the Anshe Mishmar. And the Anshe Maimon, and again, the Anshe Maimon are these people, the Yisraelim, who are standing and davening and maybe fasting in certain cases. Okay? I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Rashi points out that the Anshe Maimon was not made up completely of Yisraelim. It was a group of Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. So it was all together, and they would be davening during the Avoda that the Karbonos would be accepted. Okay. Fine. So now, this whole week, the Anshe Mishmar and the Anshe Maimid were not allowed to get haircuts and they were not allowed to do laundry. Okay? Rashi says that the Gemara is going to explain why. The whole week that they're on call. Yeah. Milasaper lihistaper is to get a haircut. Sapar is a barber. Okay, so the whole week that they're on call, the Anshe Mishmar and the Anshe Maimid are not allowed to get haircuts or do laundry. Rashi says, we'll explain in the Gemara why that is. They usually got haircuts, Rashi says, before their week started. Ubechamishi mutar mipnei kavod haShabbos. But on Thursday, they're allowed to because of kavod Shabbos. Most people are getting haircuts on Thursday. It's interesting, Rashi points out that most people actually got haircuts on Thursday and not on Friday, because it was a big tircha. So, obviously then probably cutting hair was more of a tircha than it is now. But even now, I hear the svara to do it on Thursday as opposed to Friday. Friday is a busier day. So it's interesting that he says that. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Kol HaKosuv Megillas Tainis. Now, there was a book called Megillas Tainis, which listed different days. They were like minor holidays that you were, the people that Chazal decreed, you're not allowed to fast on certain days. Okay? And then there were some days where they decreed not only are you not allowed to fast, but you're also not allowed to give hespedim. You're not allowed to give eulogies on these days. They were even greater holidays. So there were some like minor holidays and then some like kind of like minor plus holidays. A little greater holidays where you're not allowed to fast and you're not allowed to give hespedim. So says the Mishnah, Kolakosu b'Megillas Tainis. The Lola Misbeid, anytime it says in Megillas Tainis, a day, that you're not allowed to eulogize on that day, so that was a pretty serious holiday, you're not even allowed to eulogize. Lefonav Aser, la'achrav Mutter. The day before is also Aser, you're also not allowed to give Hespedim, but the day after is Mutter. You're allowed to give Hespedim the following day, just not the day before. That is the Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi Omer, sorry? Like different days, like Hanukkah, Purim, Rosh Chodesh, like days like that. I mean, you know, those are some of the days. Okay? Fine. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, by the way, I mean, Rashi explains the reason why beforehand would be us is because maybe you'll end up, you know, just giving a hesped on the day of Yantiv itself. If you can give one before, maybe you can give one, maybe you'll end up giving one on that day also. But the day after, we're not worried anymore because the Yantiv already passed. Okay, Rabbi Yossi says, Lefanav Ula Achrav Aser. He says, no, both before and after is prohibited. You're not allowed to give a hesped on both the days before and the days after those days that are listed. Okay? What's the matter? I'm sorry? Yeah, Rabbi Yossi says both the day before and the day after the days listed are also Aser and Hesped. Right, there are certain days that are listed in the Megillas Tanis, you're not allowed to give a Hesped. So the Tanakhama says not only those days are Aser, but the days before also Aser. Right? The Erev of all those days is Aser. The day after, following those days, is not Aser. Rabbi Yossi says no, both the days before and the days after are all Aser. Zakta Mishnevaiter. But if there are days that are listed not as days where it's usher to give a eulogy, but only days that it's usher to fast, so those were not as strict on those days, you're just not allowed to fast, but you are allowed to give a eulogy. So then, lefanav ula acharav mutter, the Tanakam is a little bit more lenient, and he says even the day before is mutter, both before and after is mutter to fast, only that day itself is usher to fast. Rabbi Yossi Omer, lefanav asur la'acharav mutter. He says, no, the day before is usher to fast as well, but the day after, the following day, is mutter to, you're allowed to fast the day following. Okay. Zok de Mishnah Vayter. Ein gozrin tainas al hatzivur b'tchila b'chamishi, shalo l'hafki ha'she'orim. So you're not allowed, we learned this already in the past, that they did not decree a fast day, a series of fast days, to begin on a Thursday. Why? Because they were nervous that the shop owners were going to jack up the prices. Because they think, oh, maybe there's a famine coming, everybody's stocking up on food, you know, on Wednesday, Thursday, people are stocking up on food. So maybe there's a famine coming. So they would jack up the prices. But if you made it on Monday, then they would realize there's no famine coming. It must be a fast day. Okay? Elo shalosh taniyos harishonos sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. So the first set of three fast days was done Monday, Thursday, Monday. They started on a Monday so that the shopkeepers would realize that it was for a fast days. Okay, so it's Monday, Thursday, Monday. V'shalosh shniyos chamishi sheni v'chamishi. The second set they did already Thursday, Monday, Thursday. Why? Because once already it was the second set, the shopkeepers would catch on and would realize that we're fasting here for rain, so they would not jack up the prices. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi says, Kishem she'en harishonos b'chamishi, kach lo shnios v'lo achronos. Rabbi Yossi says, no, that just like the first set of fast days cannot start on a Thursday, so too the second and the third set of fast days also cannot start on Thursday. He held the fast days could never start on Thursday. Tanakama says, no, once the first set, you know, gets going, Monday, Thursday, Monday, so now it's okay, now the shopkeepers will realize. Zakta Mishnah Vayter, Ein Gozrin Tainas al Hatzibur B'Roshei Chodashim B'Chanukah U'V'Purim. Right, that they would not be Gozer with Tainas Tzibur on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim. P'Mischilu Ein Mafsikim. In Divrei Rabbi Gamliel. But if they started, let's say, a series of fast days beforehand, and it just happens to fall out that one of those fast days falls out on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim, they would still fast on those days. That was the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. Amar Rabbi Meir says, Afa Pishomer Rabbi Gamliel Ein Mafsikin. Even though Rabbi Gamliel says we don't stop fasting, but once we started, we keep going. Even though it's Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim, nevertheless Mode Haya Shein Mashlimin. Nevertheless, he agrees that you don't fast a full day. If one of the fast days falls out on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim, you fast, let's say, you know, half the day, three quarters of the day, and then you break the fast in the afternoon. So you know, at least you're not fasting the whole day. V'chein Tisha B'av shechal yos b'erev Shabbos. So too, if Tisha B'av falls out on erev Shabbos, we don't want to go into Shabbos in a state of fasting, and therefore you would break the fast early. Nowadays, Tisha B'av cannot fall out on erev Shabbos, I believe, but in those days it could. Yeah.
Is there a misfit?
Good question. On Purim, yes. Hanukkah, maybe not. Right? Well, I guess because it's a Tainas Tzibur, so Tainas Tzibur would be Docha, the Suda of Purim. So, I mean, Purim is a Yantiv Derabana. So it's a little bit more lenient. If they would be Gozer Tainas Tzibur, probably would be Docha that Chiyuv Suda. Okay. Let's see the Gemara. Zakti Gemara say the Tanios Ketzan. So if you remember the Mishnah at the very beginning quoted the order, what they used to do on the Tainas. Ketzan Motzines HaTeva V'chule. Right? Remember the Mishnah said it would take the Aron, it would bring the Aron out to the street. Asks the Gemara of Afilu B'Kamaisa. Did they bring the Aron out even in the first set of fasts? Urimin, who we have a stira to that. Why? Because the Braisa teaches us Shalosh Tanias Rishonos Ushnios Nichnos and Besak Nesses Umispalin Kiderach Shemispalin Koloshana Kula. The first set and the second set of fasts, they would not bring the Aron out. They would go into the shul and they would daven in the shul just like they daven all other days of the year. Only the third set of seven fasts would they take the Aron out into the street and daven there. And there, v'nos ne'efer al gabei ateva, then they would put the ashes, like we learned, on top of the Aron, b'rosh ha'nasi, b'rosh av beis din. They would put ashes on the head of the nasi and the head of the av beis din. And then each and every person would take some ashes and put it on their own head. Okay? I'm sorry, I said ashes, but it only says afer, which could mean dirt. Rabbi Nassan Omer, afer mikla hein mevin. Rabbi Nassan says, no, it wasn't dirt, it was ashes. Okay, so I mistranslated the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says they took dirt, but Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Nassan, I'm sorry, disagrees, and he says it was ashes. Rav Papa says, so how do you answer this contradiction? The Mishnah seems to imply that even the first set of fasts is to take the Aron out, and this Brisa seems to imply that only the third set of fasts is to take the Aron out, not the first two. So Rav Papa answers, Kitna nami masnisin ashev achronos. When we learn that in the Mishnah, that you take the Aron out, it was only talking about the last set. It was only talking about that last set of seven fasts. It was not talking about the first two sets. You're right. The first two sets, everybody would go into the shul and daven. Only the third set of seven fasts, they would take the Aron out into the street. Zok de Gemara Vaitu, Barosh HaNasi, and you would put the ashes on the head of the Nasi. Behadar Tani Kolechon V'yechad Nosein Barosho. Right, and then the Mishnah teaches us that each and every person would take some ashes and put it on, or dirt or ashes, and put it on their head. Asks the Gemara, Inni, is that true? V'hatanya Rabbi Omer, b'gedula maschilin min ha-gadol. When it's something important, you always start with the gadol, you start with the most chashuv person. U'biklala, but when it's something negative, maschilin min ha-kata. You start from the smallest person. You don't start from the most chashuv person. Okay? How do we know this? How do we know that when it comes to something of importance, you begin with the most chashuv person? Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Vayomer Moshe el Aharon ule Elazar ule Yisamar." Moshe spoke to the Kohanim. So who do you speak to first? First to Aharon, and then to Elazar, and then to Yisamar. So you see, they started with Aharon. For gedula, you always start with the biggest. Ubiklala maschil min akatan, and when it comes to something negative, like a klala, like a curse, you always start with the least prominent. Okay, how do we know that? As we say, B'tchila niskal al-nachash, V'achar kach niskal al-chava, V'achar kach niskal al-adam. Because first the nachash was cursed, and then the chava was cursed, and then Adam was cursed. Right? So even though this does not mean, and again, you can misread the Gemara to mean that women are not important, and men are more important than women, that's not what it means. What it means is that in terms of public prominence, generally men occupy positions of public prominence in Jewish life more than women do. And that's why men are publicly more prominent as opposed to women. Okay? So the Gemara is asking, how could it be that we put the ashes on the head of the Nasi first? Ashes are something negative. It's a mourning. So why should you start from the Nasi? You shouldn't start from the most chashuv person. You should start from the least chashuv person when it comes to ashes. Why are we starting with the most chashuv person? So the Gemara answers, Ha-chashivusa l'didhu. No, this is actually something chashuv. Putting the ashes on the nasi first. Why? The amrei l'hu, because when the people put the ashes on the head of the nasi, what are they, in effect, what are they saying to them? Atun chashivisu, you are chashuv. Lemiboy alon rachame akulei alma. You're chashim, and therefore you can daven for all of us. That's why we put the ashes on the nasi first, to show that you're the most chashim, and therefore you can daven for everybody else. So that's why we do it first. So even though ashes technically are something negative, but we're doing it as a sign of chashivus by putting on them, by putting it on them first. Continues the Gemara. We're almost done. B'chol echad v'yechad nosein b'rosho. So everybody puts it on their own head. Asks the Gemara. Nosi v'av beistin nami nishkelu inhu. Why don't they also take it v'ninchu b'roshayhu and put it on their own heads? Right? Why just like everybody else, putting it on their own heads? Why can't the Nasi and the Av Basin put it on their own heads also? Maishno, why are they different? The Shakil Inish Achrina, that another person takes the ashes, Umanach Lehu, and puts it on their heads. Right? Let them put it on their own heads, just like everybody else puts the ashes on their own heads. Amar Rabbi Abba Demin Kesari, Rabbi Abba Demin Kesari, Eino Dome Misbayesh Me Atzmo, the Misbayesh Me Achir. He says that a person who's embarrassed by himself is going to be much more embarrassed if someone else embarrasses them. Right? We feel much more embarrassment if someone else embarrasses us as opposed to us embarrassing ourselves. So if he would put the ashes on his own head, that's a certain degree of embarrassment. But if someone else, if a regular person puts ashes on the Nasi's head, that's a greater degree of embarrassment. So we want to increase the busha so that the Nasi feels the pain and therefore the Nasi davens for the tzibur. And where did they put these ashes? Where on the head did they put the ashes? They put the ashes b'makom tefillin. That's also where we put the ashes when a chassan gets married. We'd also have a minhag that we put some ash on their head b'makom tefillin. Why? Shenemar, as the pasuk says, lasum avele tzion laseis lahem pe'er tachas efer. That for the mourners of Tzion, we give them pe'er tachas efer. Pe'er is always a reference to tefillin, okay? Because the pasuk says in Yechezkel, as Rashi quotes, pe'ercha chavosh alecha, which is a reference to tefillin, you should put your tefillin on. So we say that the tefillin replaced the ash. So that's why we always put, whenever we put ashes on the head as a sign of mourning, we put it in the makom tefillin. Okay, we'll stop here for today.